Okay, we're back. Across the Border, that's the name of the program. And I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing here in chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew. And we left off at verse 21, where it says, verse 23, actually. But if your eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Yeah, you know what the evil eye is. That's the guy who lusts after the pretty girls, and he only wants one thing. He has an evil eye. That's what he's looking for. Or how about the guy in business? He's only looking for one thing, how he can get more money, how he can take more from his clients. He has an evil eye because he's only looking for that one thing to satisfy his lusts. Or there's the guy that all he wants is fame and fortune, to be seen of other men, how great he is, and the money that comes with that. He has an evil eye because it's all he's looking for, and he doesn't care who he has to step on to get it. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And you know what? It's not just those people that I described. It's those people that all they want is those things, and they never get them. That's right. They have an evil eye, but their eye, and that's most of them, you know. Most of those people out there, and those are the ones that envy the ones with the evil eye. You see them all the time. You recognize them. You know them by their fruits. Some of them become famous and rich and actors and whatever, and then they get out there and they spew out all of this godless, loving things that are against God's law, proposing things and promoting things that go against the law of our Heavenly Father. And some of them do it with good, pompous, good words, like they're doing a good thing. And then there are all the people that want to be like them, that hold them up as idols. They idolize them because they've made it what they want. So they idolize those that have made what they want. So you have those with the evil eyes, the evil eye that make it and become rich and famous or whatever their evil eye is after, or have the conquest of many men or women, you know, sexually speaking. They get all the desires of the flesh that they desire after, all the evils of this world that their evil eye is after. And then there are those that want those same things, but never quite acquire them. They just become a slave to the desire of them. And that's the position of most people. I mean, that's a terrible thing, you know, to burn in hell for the love of money forever and never have had any money to speak of. Because most of the people that love money will live in poverty their whole lives, yet they will burn in hell for the love of money forever. Yeah. That's, I would talk about ridiculously sad. And tragic, that's what it is. So all of you out there serving mammon, but never quite getting it, just becoming a slave for it, consider the fact that you're going to burn in hell forever for something that you may or may not get, and you most likely won't get it, but you'll just become a slave to the love of it, to the idea of having it. And perhaps I'm getting a little further ahead of myself again, but let's jump back into our text here. So that's the evil eye. So put off the evil eye. You know, it's like Yahshua said in the same context here, in the same sermon, he says, if your eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it would be better to go through life with one of your eyes plucked out, to go through your life lame or blind, than that your whole body and soul be cast into hell. It would be better. So if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, it's not very great. If all the light in your life, if the light of your life is evil and darkness, how great is that? That's not very great, is it? Considering the end of it. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. That's having two heads. As my friend says, anything with two heads is a monster. And that's why the church can't have two heads. You know, you can't serve Arnold Schwarzenegger or whoever the governor of your state is and Yahshua or Jesus at the same time. You can't serve them both. And the only reason to have that, add that second head is mammon, the benefits. Went to a church for 7 or 8 years once, became apprised of the whole state incorporation. Before that, I had no clue that I was going to a state church. Didn't have a clue. They never mentioned it to me. They never got up. They just got up there every day and proclaimed the name of Jesus. Of course, I heard the words of how it was against the law to speak about politics or endorse a candidate. And I never put that together quite, that how it could be against the law and how we could have religious liberty at the same time. I never put those two together. But when it finally came together, when I was finally apprised of the issue, and I finally learned that I was going to a state church, well, me and a couple friends of mine, we went before the Board of Elders, which was the board of, what do you call them? The board of the corporation? The board of trustees, or whatever they call it, the board, the corporate board there, and they called them elders. So we went before the board of elders of the trustees for the state of the corporation, because they were having a corporate meeting. They were having their state corporation meeting. And we said, you know, this information has come to us about the church being incorporated with the state, and we understand that this church is state incorporated. And, all the elders on the board got this kind of dumb, deer in the headlights type look, you know. Like, huh? What? What are you talking about? It never crossed their mind, just like it never crossed my mind. Of course, I was never a member of the board, and really hadn't become a member of the church. I was just going there and, fellowshipping. And so we asked them, we said, here's our Bible. Put a Bible on the table and said, you know, we believe that this is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is his law, and this is what our guide is, correct? And, well, they all agreed with that. And he said, well, can you show us an authority, a biblical authority, for the church being a member of the state or a state corporation? And, none of them knew the answer, because it was obvious at that point that the board elders did not get up one day and said, open the Bible and say, well, look here, we got to incorporate with the church. It says that, the book of incorporation, verse 22, chapter 3, that we have to incorporate with the state. They didn't come to that conclusion, and neither did they get around a big table and pray, oh, Heavenly Father, give us instruction, and then the lightning bolt struck the table or something, or a letter fell out of the earth, or it opened to the book of incorporation out of the Bible and said, thou shalt be incorporated with the state. They didn't pray and get instruction that way either. They just kind of had that dumb deer in headlights look, and they're looking at us, and they said, well, you know what? We're going to have another board meeting in 2 weeks. You guys come back then. And we'll have an answer for you. Well, okay. Well, what could we say to that? We caught them. They didn't have an answer. They had no clue why they were members of the state while they were a state church. And so we came back in 2 weeks, and to the board meeting, and much to their chagrin, as I could tell that none of them were very comfortable about the whole situation, but. We came back in 2 weeks, the three of us, me, another man, and two other men, that one of them still goes to that church, and one who, along with me, quit going to the church over the issue. And they told us, they said, they came back, not with the word of God, but with the counsel of the ungodly. And they said to us, our accountant said, and they came back, not with the word of God, because that's what we're asking for. Here's the book. Here's the Bible. This is the law. This is how we set up the church. We want to know from this where the authority is. No, they forget that Bible. Our accountant said. So the accountant now was their head and their God and their leader. And he brought in the laws of men, the counsel of the ungodly, the laws of another kingdom in to establish. And of course, then they went off to list all the benefits of being incorporated. So they weren't looking to him for his benefits. They weren't looking to his law to set up their church in obedience to him. They were looking to the state for benefits. And well, they have their reward, they have their benefits, and they also have two masters. And then we figured out how they came up with it's illegal for them. It's against the law for them to talk on certain topics. And I believe that the incorporation, the laws for corporations in the state of California anyway, requires that they cannot go against public policy in any of their actions, in any of their speech, in anything that they do. The not-for-profit and corporations in California cannot go against public policy. And public policy is whatever the state says is right and wrong. Basically, if public policy says that homosexuals can be married, well, I think that's public policy, isn't it? If the black-robed gods of the state of California, the black-robed high priests of the state of California, say that they have to allow homosexuals to marry, well, that's public policy, isn't it? And if they say abortion is okay, well, it's public policy, isn't it? They can't preach against abortion, but they do, and they let them get away with it. Can't preach against homosexuality, but they do, and they let them get away with it. They can't preach against public education, the public schools, and tell people to homeschool. And they can't do all of these things, and they can't have political speech, but they do, and they let them get away with it. But they can call them on it any times, and they do call some of them out on it. But I'm going to tell you, all of you, the day is coming where they're going to start enforcing the law. Yes, that lamb-like beast that has all those lamb-like qualities is going to start enforcing its law on those churches. It's going to start enforcing them. If a church marries people, it's going to have to, it will not be able to discriminate because public policy does not allow discrimination. They will not be allowed to discriminate against homosexuals. They will have to marry homosexuals. Or the state may come in, take the property, which rightfully belongs to the state by the agreement that the elders made with the state. They're holding the property in trust for the state. That's the law. Then the state, and the law says, because I read it myself, the law says that the state can come in, take the property, and give it to another similar not-for-profit corporation who will obey the rules. So you may see the transfer of rebellious state churches. You may see the transfer of their property to churches, state churches that are not rebellious. And they're out there. I know there's a homosexual church out there, and there are several of them that have homosexual pastors and preachers and bishops, and they're doing homosexual marriages. And they may end up with all the property. The climate is changing. And the scripture says that that lamb-like beast is going to start speaking like a dragon. And that means persecution. That's how you interpret that, speaking like a dragon. If you use the scripture to interpret scripture, anytime a church speaks, or anytime a beast speaks like a dragon, a government speaks like a dragon, through laws, it will start enforcing those laws that are on the books already, and yes, it will start passing laws to persecute those that will not come into line. And I'll tell you what, when that time comes, you'll see, we already see a separating of the sheep and the goats happening now, only they're doing it voluntarily, and then they're going to start using force later on, and you're going to see a real separation coming down. Okay, so there you have it. Can't serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? So if you're taking thought of all the benefits of the world, you're worried about something. Oh, if we get incorporated with the world, you know, on the church or the congregation level, if we get incorporated with the world, then they can't sue us and steal the property and things like that. We have protection and all of these benefits. Oh, we can get tax-deductible donations, and that way we can secure the pastor with a salary and a health plan and retirement benefits. Oh, take no thought, huh? Yeah, so we're taking way more than thought. Not only are we taking thought, but we're looking to somebody else for those benefits. And we're looking to another law and another kingdom for those benefits when we look to the ungodly governments of men. I'm going to tell you something, just to draw an illustration, to use the state of California, because I'm sitting on the land called California, and floating above the land is this image over here that is called the state of California. This image that only exists in the minds of men has its own law, it has its own governors, and it has its own mouths that speak for it. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he is the mouth of the beast of the state of California right now. Make me the mouth. You know, and they have a race to see who's going to become the mouth every 4 years or whatever it is. But you get the idea. It's another kingdom. It's not the kingdom of God. You can't serve two masters. I'm not going to serve the mouth of the beast. And our churches should not join the beast, this ungodly government that hates Christ. Because to use words of Yahshua, of our Messiah himself, he says, if they're not for us, they're against us. And I happen to know that the state of California is not for Yahshua. The state of California is not for Jesus. They are against him. They are against his kingdom. They hate his law. They love their own law. They love homosexuality. They love adultery. All of these things they love. As a matter of fact, they prohibit Jesus, Yahshua, the Bible. They prohibit the teaching of his things in their state public schools, in their pagan schools. They hate him. And he is outlawed. He is against their law. And so they are antichrist. They are against him. And they stand in the place of Christ because they are your salvation. Well, they certainly are the salvation of the homosexuals, aren't they? Uh-huh. And they're the salvation of the adulterers, because the adulterers can go and say, you can't kill me. You can't execute God's law here. And they can unrepentantly divorce, give and take in marriage, unrepentantly by the law, by the salvation of the law of the state. So they stand in the place of Christ. They stand against Christ. They are antichrist, and you can't serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. And which one do they love? You'll hold to one and you'll despise the other. Which one do they hold to? Which law form do they cling to? Which law form do you cling to? Is it his law form? Is it the law of the kingdom of heaven? Or is it the law of the kingdom of men, which allows you, which gives you license to break his law, to practice licentiousness? Licentiousness. Yes, just the very word sounds evil. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And I could say, after all these things do the nations seek. And it's true. You go out there in the state of California, you go into the public schools, and that's all they teach you. The most important thing is not the kingdom of God. It's not doing what's right according to His law in His sight, but it's preparing for life, preparing for your career. I mean, even if you have to practice the pagan idolatry of birth control and abortion and romance, you got to practice all this idolatry so that perhaps when you become 35 or 40 years old, because having children is a bad thing, you don't want to just go out there and have children. Because, you know, forget that our Heavenly Father said, be fruitful and multiply. Forget that He said that children are a blessing from Him, and blessed is the man who has his quiver full. Forget all that. The world says, get your house, get your career, get it all in order, and to do this, practice birth control and practice abortion and put it off, and, you know, like they're doing today. They're putting it off until they're 35, 40 years old. The women are, can't have any more children because they're nearing the age of menopause. And of course, then you have the equality. So all the men are going through mental menopause because of equality. And that's what they want, because our enemy, the king, the true governor of the kingdoms of this world, who offered, you know, governance over all, he said, all these kingdoms are mine. He wasn't lying, was he? They're all in his hand, you know. And that's only because the Heavenly Father allows him to work out his purpose. So you can worship idols if you want. If there were no idols for you to worship, well, then you wouldn't have a choice to do good, would you? Yeah, think about it for a while. But he says, after all these things do the nations seek. And the word Gentiles, if you're in your Esord there, you mouse over the Greek 1484 and you'll see the word is ethnos. And that is a race, a tribe. So he's saying, over all of these things, you know, all the other nations, because he was speaking to Hebrew people, the Israelite, you know, remnant that was there. And he's saying, after all these things do the nations seek. Because that would be the word nations. And in context, he would have meant the other nations. But for us, it's all the nations. And you know what? We're going to have to pick up here next time on Cross the Border. And this will be a good place to pick up. Matthew 6:32. You're listening to Cross the Border. Please visit my website. Please drop me a line. Let me know you're listening. Let me know that you're being blessed. I would like to hear from you.